Turn to your neighbor and ask that. Can you hear me now? Now say, good. Can you hear me now? This is a phrase that was popular by Verizon, and I called Verizon to see if they want to help sponsor this, but they didn't make a donation to the church yet. But anyway, they did allow us to use their advertising slogan for our message. I did call and get permission from that. So those of you who are worried about copyright permission, we do have permission from Verizon to use this for our sermon series. Okay. But today, and this was not original by Verizon. God asked us a long time ago, 2,000 years ago. Matter of fact, he asked, he goes, man, let those who have ears to hear, let them hear. He was asking, man, can you hear me? I'm talking. God is talking, and God's been talking to us. All these years, God's been talking, but are we listening? We're learning to hear the voice of God speak, and today we're going to talk about that very thing, how God speaks to you, how God speaks to you. It's all about hearing God speak. That's why it's important to hear from God. He is speaking. Why is it important? One, it shows you that I'm a believer. The Word of God says that what? He says, my sheep shall hear my voice. That's what Jesus said. He said, my sheep shall hear my voice. And so when I hear the voice of God, then what's that do? That builds my faith, knowing that I am his sheep. It makes me feel good that knowing that I am his sheep, and he is my shepherd. That when I hear the voice of the shepherd, when I hear God speaking to me in my heart, and I know it's him, that builds my faith and knowing, you know what, I belong to the family of God. Wow, I'm a part of God's family. We talked about this last week, that we speak to our children, don't we? I don't speak to one of my children, not the other one. I speak to all my children. Some of them louder than others. Some of them get longer talks than others, but I speak to all of my children. And we don't ignore our children. We speak to them all because they're our children. And God longs to speak to all of his children. He doesn't speak to one church and not another church. He doesn't speak to the pastoral staff and nobody else. He speaks to all of his children. God is speaking, but are we listening? And we're learning to listen and identify the voice of God. Also, when we hear the voice of the Lord, it also protects us from mistakes. When we're hearing God's voice, what happens? It protects us. It leads us. It guides us. And it helps us stop and not make some stupid mistakes we may make on our own by going with our own selfish desires or our own things that we want to do. So when I'm listening to God's voice, it's protecting me from mistakes. It's also producing success in my life. How many know if I hear God's voice and I do what he says, the Word of God says, I shall have great success. I'll be a successful person. So if you want to be a successful person, learn to hear God's voice. Learn to identify what God's speaking and then learn to be obedient to that and it produces success in your life. God is talking to us. The Bible is full of examples of how God talks to his people. He's been speaking to his people for hundreds and hundreds of years, even thousands of years. God's been speaking to his people. The Bible has different ways of communication. The Bible talks about the different ways of communication. I mean, the Bible is full of so many unique ways that God chose to speak to his people. We see that, obviously, he is God as God. And if God wanted to today, he could take this light bulb, but he could speak to us through the light bulb. I mean, he is that creative. He is that, has that much power in the universe that he knows that God can speak to us any way possible. God can make it happen if he so chooses. God can speak to us. We see in the Bible where he spoke to Moses through the burning bush. I mean, what a unique way to speak to somebody. The bush is burning. And he goes, Moses. I know it's the Bible. I've seen it in the movie Ten Commandments, so it's got to be the Bible, right? It's Charlton Heston. Moses. I mean, he's speaking to him. Moses. You know, that's kind of a unique way. We also see where Jacob wrestled with an angel, and he spoke to Jacob through an angel. He speaks differently to different people. Remember when he spoke to Balaam through the ass. That's what it says. He used an ass to speak to Balaam. Some of you say, imagine that. You mean he used a donkey? Yeah, he did. He used a donkey to speak to Balaam. You're talking about bizarre. You know, and it wasn't, his name was not Mr. Ed, okay? This is long before Mr. Ed was ever born. He spoke to Balaam through a donkey. What a unique way that he stopped and talked to somebody. I mean, would you have a heart attack if God spoke through a donkey to you? Yes, we would. You know, we'd have a Kramer moment. You know, it'd be like, whoa. That's out there. Some of you say, you know what? God speaks through a donkey, through an ass, to Balaam. Can God still do that today? Yes, he can. Some of you think he does it every week here at Destiny Church, so you just got to listen. That's all right. That's all right. Sometimes I got to be the butt of my own jokes, okay? It's all right to make fun of yourself once in a while. If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at, right? We got to laugh at ourselves. Listen, today God is so unique in how he speaks to us and how he chooses to speak to us. He could speak to us any way possible. Look at what it says here in Job 33. God speaks in different ways, but we don't always recognize his voice. God speaks in different ways, but we don't always recognize his voice. Circle that word, different ways. Write that down, different ways. God speaks in different ways, but the problem is we don't often recognize it. Now, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we could just have some kind of magic pill that we could take that automatically just have us say, you know what? Man, if I take this particular drug or this pill, I can hear the voice of God. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing to do? How many think that would be an awesome thing? If we just take this pill, all of a sudden, boom, we can hear the voice of God. If they can market that. You know, matter of fact, I saw a commercial the other day that kind of markets that. Why don't you go ahead and play that, Garrett, back here? Maybe some of you might be interested in this.
Are you troubled by worldly static when you pray, making it difficult for you to hear from God? You may be suffering from ISD or interruptive static disorder. For you, there's Stativert. Just one petite purple pill prior to prayer relieves static for up to 12 hours. As with any Christian pharmaceutical, consult your pastor prior to taking Stativert. Stativert may be habit-forming and should only be used as a prayer supplement. For those taking MAYO inhibitors, make sure to use a faith supplement at least as large as a mustard seed. Moderate side effects may include headache, nausea, increased television reception, difficulty with parking meters, and in very rare cases, a Saturday night fever. Stativert, another trusted Christian health supplement from Wiseman Pharmaceuticals, the makers of Repentanol and Preagra. Remember, when you hear from God, his voice shouldn't just be clear. It should be Stativert clear.
By Wiseman.
Wouldn't it be great if it's that easy? We're just no magic pill, but there is a lot of things and instruction about how God speaks. And sometimes we can't hear clearly. It's not about just taking some magic pill, waking up someday, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, static's gone, I'm hearing God. But God is speaking, and we got to learn to tune in. We talked about last week. It's all right that you can have the best radio, the best stereo system, the best end of everything, but if you don't have it tuned in, you're not going to hear anything. You won't hear how great it sounds. And so we are learning to tune in to hearing God's voice. And today we're talking about this, about how God speaks. This morning I'm going to give you six of the ways that God speaks to us. These are not all the ways. There's so many ways that God can speak to us, and God can choose to speak in a lot of different ways. But I'm going to give you six very common ways that God often speaks to us and has proven that he speaks to us according to Scripture. Number one today we're looking at is God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through the Bible. How many are glad that God speaks through the Bible? Aren't you glad that God speaks through the Bible? We start with just one thing intentionally because this is still the most important thing. When we go back to the very first sermon in this series, when I talked about spending time with God and how it's important to spend time with God, it's for a reason, because it's through the Word of God that God speaks the most. It's through his Word that he will speak to you and I the most. And we've got to learn to be people who read the Word of God. We've got to learn to be people who indulge the Word of God and read it and deposit it daily into our hearts and into our minds. We've got to be people of his Word. And he talked about this. In the last days, there will be a famine of God's word. He prophesied. He said, in the last days, there will be a famine of God's word. People would grow cold to reading God's word. And so we got to make sure that we don't allow that spirit to come into our church, into our lives, into our family, especially personally. We say, you know what? I am going to be a student of God's word. I'm going to be a student of putting, depositing into my life the positive message and the instruction of Jesus Christ. I want to hear God speak to me. He has spoken to me. And it's called the Bible. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It's one of the foundation songs I was taught as a preschooler in class, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Bible! You know, we were taught that as a young kid because it's the foundation of our Christianity, is learning to put the Word of God in our life and make it come alive. Now listen, we can read everything else, and it doesn't make a difference to us. Man, I can read Sports Illustrated. I can read, you know, books about sports facts and this and adventure. We can read books about romance and novels about this. And boy, they captivate our attention. But the Word of God, I can't understand that. What's God? Well, find a Bible you can understand. Listen, there is no excuse for you to say, I don't understand the Bible. Because today, we are so privileged to have so many different translations of books of the Bible who can make it in the common English where you can understand and you can comprehend. For you to say, I don't understand, listen, that's not an excuse anymore because it has been translated into different languages. I really suggest if you're new and say, maybe a new Christian and say, I don't understand the Bible, try the New Living Translation. This is a great translation for everyday language, and I think it holds very true to Scripture interpretation. Did not lose the meaning and the original meaning of the Word of God when it was translated. And so find it out. Look what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. Everything in the Scripture is God's Word. All of it is useful for teaching, for helping people, for correcting them, and showing them how to live. Why did God give us the Bible? It's very clear right here. This verse tells us. Underline these words. Here are the four reasons why we have Scripture. For teaching us, to help us, to correct us, and to show us how to live. Now, I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I guarantee you, whatever you need help, it falls under these four categories. Some of you need help. Some of you need direction. Some of you need teaching. Some of you need correcting. All these fall under the Scripture. He says the Scripture comes alive in our life, and it helps us grow and shows us all that we need to know. It says everything. Wow. Everything. That's a positive word. Everything. Everything in Scripture is God's Word. All of it is useful for teaching. And this is the mistake that we have today if we take the Word of God and say, I believe this, but I don't believe that. And today, we all know of people who do that. And maybe some of you here today, you've done that. Or maybe I've done it in the past of my life. I found myself, well, I believe this, but I don't know if I believe all this. Listen, the Word of God, it says everything. How many need the definition of everything? How many know the definition of everything? It's all includes everything. Every word, every sentence, every paragraph, every chapter, every book is for our benefit to correct, to teach, to guide, to help us. Everything in here. So as a Christian, I don't come and say, you know what? I believe this, but I don't believe this. I believe in healing, but I don't believe in spiritual living. I believe in baptism, but I don't believe in confession. The Word of God, everything is for us. And we may not understand everything. You may not have a good comprehension of everything. But if it's in the Word of God, it is for our life. And it has relevance in helping us live from day to day. To empowering us to live from day to day. And so we don't take Scripture and cut it out and say it's no good for us. We can't do that because the Word of God is powerful all of our lives. We need all the Scripture. I know some parts are hard to understand. But believe me, there's a reason why it's there, and God has a reason for it being there. It says, God never shuts his mouth, you only shut his book. Isn't that a good quote? God never shuts his mouth, we only close his book. Because God is constantly speaking through the Word of God. God is constantly speaking to us through his Word. He is constantly communicating to his people through the Scripture. Does God ever quit talking? No, he doesn't. He's always talking to us. Sometimes we shut his Bible and don't pick it up all week, and we haven't heard what he's speaking to us. I open the Word of God up. Listen to what it says in Psalms 119. Your Word is a lamp guide to me and a light to my path. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet as it guides me and a light for my path. Listen, it doesn't say this, that your Word is going to show me the 10-year plan for my life. Your Word is going to show me what's going to happen over the next 3 years. It says your Word is what? Is a lamp unto my what? What is his Word is what? A lamp unto my feet. All right, class, you done good. You're going to get some bonus points. All right. He's a lamp unto my feet. So if he is guiding my feet, that means the light must be where? It must be directly in front. If it's guiding my feet, a lamp unto my feet. You ever had a lantern? I mean, lanterns light up a little bit of ways, but you can really just see just directly ahead of you, can't you? It doesn't say this. Your Word is a spotlight that shall shine throughout the universe, and I'll see my path and which direction it's going for years and years and years to come. No, he says, it is a lamp unto my feet. What's that symbolize? Symbolize his word will tell me what step to do next. That's how God's words leads us day by day. It's day by day. Why? Because if we knew the future, if I could hold up the word of God and it would show me my life, wow, that's the way it's going to turn out. That's awesome. Cool. Oh, that's scary. You know, however it is, then I would say, all right, I know that, God. Thank you. I'll see you later. I don't need to trust you because you've already told me everything. So, see ya. We wouldn't live by faith, would we? So he wants us to live by faith. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He's called you and I to be Christians and to live by faith. It takes faith to live from day to day. It takes faith to God. I don't know where the next step is, but today you're directing me here. God, I don't know. Well, today you're directing me here. Well, God, today, tomorrow here. God, next step here. That takes faith because I don't see where the road's going to wind. I don't see the next curve ahead. I don't see the next place he has me to go. But I know if I'm trusting him and I'm in tune with him and his word comes alive in my heart, that I am following the lamp unto my feet, that I'm going to be okay. Because he's going to protect me. He's going to guide me. He's guiding my family. He's guiding my children. He's guiding my marriage. He's guiding my job. He's telling me which way to go. He has spoken to us. And when he doesn't speak, it's because I have shut his word up and said, pastor will tell me on Sunday. That's all I need to know. You're going to miss out on a lot. God is speaking. Are we listening? It requires faith. There's a second way that God speaks to us that's common, and the Bible tells us that God speaks to us through gifted teachers, through gifted teachers. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, Christ gifted some to be apostles, to be prophets, to be missionaries, to be pastors, and teachers. And look at why. Why does God gift people for teachers? Look what it says here. So that his people would learn to serve and his body would grow strong. So that his people would learn and his body would grow, their body would grow strong spiritually. He has given us gifted teachers, gifted pastors, gifted missionaries, prophets, and apostles. Gifted. Notice the word gifted. It doesn't say self-appointed. It says gifted. How do you know if somebody's talking if they have this gift from God? And that's a big question because today we have so many people who want to title themselves the apostle this or the prophet this or I'm a teacher, I'm a pastor, I'm called to do this. And maybe they are, maybe they're not. But how do you know? Because there's so many people who I doubt really are. I heard one guy call himself an apostle, and he was apostle this. And he named an apostle, and he got up and behind the pulpit and said, God told me to divorce my wife and to marry this other woman. That's not what God's word says. He's not going to tell an apostle to divorce his wife and to marry another woman. That's not what his word says, is it? So he calls himself an apostle. He's a good storyteller. He's a good motivator. So how do you know? How do you know if he's a gifted teacher or not? How do you know? This is how you know. Because God's spirit will speak to you while they speak. When a person's speaking, his spirit will speak to you. Today, as we look across this congregation, there's no way that I can know every personal need here this morning. There's no way I can know everything everybody's going through here this morning. But you know what the Holy Spirit does? When God anoints people to speak, I'm speaking a message today, and God will speak directly to your heart. God will speak directly to your heart. He will tell you and reveal things to you and speak to you. Yeah, you need to apply this to your life. This is what I'm telling you. This is confirming in you. This is encouraging you. This is correcting you. This is helping you. This is teaching you. It's not just motivating you, but it's helping you. And his spirit will reveal that to you. His spirit will speak to you and say, hey, this is a gifting. This person is gifted because God is using what they're saying. They didn't know what I was going through, but yet this word was directly for me. Something he said was directly for me today. Then you know that that person is a gifted teacher by the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in Romans 12. God in his kindness gave each of us different gifts. If your gift is speaking God's word, make sure what you say agrees with the faith. That's the way we test it. When teachers are preaching and teaching, we test it with what? Does it agree with the word of God? Does it agree with the faith? Listen, God's word doesn't change. If they have something new to say, it's not in the Bible and it contradicts the Bible, the word of God does not speak against itself. If they're teaching something that contradicts the Bible, then they're a false prophet. They are a false teacher. You don't want to listen to them. okay? You want to turn them off. God's not all of a sudden getting something new for them to give to you that contradicts his word. And so, and listen, they're out there on TV tonight at 10 o'clock. You'll turn on the cable, and man, they'll be all over the cable station. Guys wanting to sell you this or do this, and you'll receive this and that. And man, there's false prophets all in the air. They're trying to scam people, make money, and do different things. They're out there. And so we can't be moved emotionally by those people. We got to say, God, is what they're teaching line up with your word? It's my pastor. That's why it's good for you to take notes, and you go and you study, and you say, I just don't believe it just because my pastor's speaking, but I want to go and look it up and say, you know what? God, is this true? It's verified. God, this is true. Yeah, your word does say this. God, it is true, and I apply it to my heart, and I test it in my heart. God speaks many times through teachers and through people. God longs to do that many times. I don't know. I'm speaking to you directly sometimes. I don't know. I'll talk to somebody after church and say, Pastor, man, you said this, and I got this out of it, and I'll talk to somebody over here. It was totally opposite. God spoke to me, Pastor, this and this. That's not me. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through me and to your heart. So God many times speaks through gifted teachers. He teaches us his word. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 2. We don't speak in words taught by human wisdom. This is something different. We speak in words taught by the Spirit as we explain spiritual truths to those who have spirit. We don't speak in words taught by human wisdom. That's what Paul said. This is something different. We speak in words taught by the Spirit. Gifted teachers teach directed by the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us. God speaks first through his word. The second, most time he'll speak through gifted teachers and prophets and evangelists and missionaries. He speaks to us through different people. Number three, God speaks through godly friends and family. God will speak through, listen to what I said, godly. That's a very important part here. God speaks through godly friends and family. Listen, we have a lot of friends, we have a lot of family, but not all of them are godly. And we know that's the truth. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Godly friends and family, particularly if they are believers in Christ and they have a relationship with him, he has an easier way sometimes of talking through them to you. That God uses other people to talk to us. Wow, I mean, God can actually speak to somebody else to me. Yes, he can. And he does. Look at what it says here in Proverbs 12, 26. The godly give wise advice to their friends, and the wicked lead them astray. Godly people speak godly words to their friends and family. Wicked people give you bad advice and lead you astray. There's a big difference. And so you've got to choose. God is speaking, but this is the problem. Many times because there's a lot of wicked people giving bad advice, we don't listen to anybody. We say, you know what, I'm just not going to listen to anybody else. I'll listen to my pastor. That's about it. But I can't trust anybody else. And many times you'll miss out on when God's really wanting to speak to you. He's got somebody close in your life that God is wanting to speak to you. Confirm some things in your heart you're going through. Speak words of encouragement. Speak things into your life. Build your faith up. But because we're so scared, we hold them at bay and we don't listen to it. We keep them away. And secondly, we need to be that person. You know what? We need to be that person that God speaks through. If you're a Christian today, you need to be the person that God speaks through to your friends. God's wanting to speak to those who do not know him. God's wanting to speak to those who do know him. And the instrument oftentimes that he wants to use is a friend. He says, godly friends give great advice, man. They give godly wisdom. They give wise advice to their friends. They bring wisdom to their friends and to their family. We've got to be that kind of person. We've got to be that kind of friend that we allow God to speak through us. God is wanting to speak through you. I'm looking at the congregation. I say, there's not a person in here that God does not want to speak through today. I believe with all my heart that God wants to speak through every one of us. God wants to speak through every one of us, not just the pastoral staff, not just our small group leaders, not just the leadership, but God wants to speak through every one of us. And we got to train our ear and our heart not only to be receptive to those kind of people, but we got to be that kind of person that God speaks through. God, speak through me. But listen, this is what is important. If you don't ever read your Bible, if you don't ever listen to the godly teachers in the church or the Bible study, or if you're not in a small group of people who are teaching and influencing, that's what's great about small groups. We have some great small groups. I mean, our men's group's been meeting here on Wednesday nights, and man, we have some great discussion, not only about God's word and about the book we're studying, but man, many times guys in that group are testifying about things they're going through, and other guys say, you know what? I went through that same thing, and this is what I did. This is how I overcame it. This is how I got better. This is what I did. godly men are giving godly advice. And guys are receiving that because they're building relationships. That's why it's important that we plug ourselves in with a group of people. It holds us responsible. We got to hold people responsible. And this is the problem. My friend loves it all the time. And a friend's going to speak. You may say you're a friend, but many of us here, we have friends that are doing things that are going to destroy their life. And you see it happening. And you have a responsibility as a Christian, and as God leads you to speak up and tell them, hey, if you have this affair, you're going to lose your marriage, you're going to lose your kids, you're going to cost you this. You have a responsibility to speak up and say, listen, you are blowing it here. If you do this, you are going to lose your job. If you do this, you're going to lose your kids. If you do this, you're going to lose your marriage. You're going to lose your salvation. Tell them. Talk to them. You have a reason to talk to people. When God's leading you, you have a responsibility as a true friend to speak godly wisdom into their life, not to condemn them, but say, listen, man, hey, we've all got to be at that place. I got people in my life who come to me and they speak to me straight. And they tell me exactly what I need to hear. They tell me where I'm blowing it and where I need to improve. We all need those people in our life. We've got to be open. We've got to be receptive to those kind of people also who can speak to us. We got to let go of our pride. That's the sin that God hates the most, is pride. There's none another sin that God hates any worse than pride. What's in the middle of pride is the word I. It's the letter I. I. It's all about me. I don't need your help. I don't need your advice. I don't need your words of wisdom. I can do it by myself. I don't need you to tell me what to do. I don't need this. I. It's pride. And God hates that. And nothing will shut God's mouth from talking to you than you being prideful. Listen. God speaks through other people. This is not wrote down, but you want to mark it down in your verse. Go back and read it later. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Wounds from a friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. In the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. In this great scripture that's up in our overhead, let's read those together also. Proverbs 12:15, stupid people always think they are right. That's a good verse to put on your refrigerator, isn't it? Stupid people always think they're right. Now, I said, your refrigerator, I didn't say go put it on your husband's side of the mirror, okay? Some of you right now think, I'm going home and type the scripture out. I'm going to put it on his dashboard so he can see it every time. No, I'm not talking about that. Put it on your side. It says, stupid people always think they're right. They always think they're right. And wise people listen to advice. Wise people listen to advice. Put aside your pride. Take some courage to listen to what other people have to say. It takes humility to say, you know what? Yeah, I don't always have the right thing. I don't always have the right answers. But listen, listen. Oftentimes, God is speaking through other people, other friends. What's the fourth way God speaks? God speaks through impressions, from ideas, from the Holy Spirit. God speaks through his Holy Spirit. He gives us ideas, and he gives us impressions from his Holy Spirit. Actually, when God talks to you in your mind, we call that inspiration. When God talks to you in your mind, we call that inspiration. When Satan talks to you in your mind, we call that temptation. There's a big difference. When God talks to me in my mind, he inspires me. When Satan talks to me in my mind, he is tempting me. And so we got to learn to listen. How do I know if it's God? How do I know if it's Satan? God will speak many times to the Holy Spirit. He gives you ideas. We call that temptation or inspiration, one or the other. Listen to what John 14:26 says. The Holy Spirit will be your what? Teacher. The Holy Spirit will be your teacher and will bring to your mind all I have said to you. Now, that's an important verse because look what it says here. It says, he will bring to your mind. Now, how does God bring things to your mind? How does the Holy Spirit bring things to your mind? Is he supernaturally going to bring something you never thought of to your mind? He does that, but you know how he does that? He does that when we take time to take the word that he's already spoken as I'm reading it. You know what? I may read my devotions today and say, you know what? I really didn't get a lot today from that. Nothing really jumped out at me today, but I planted God's word in my mind. I planted it in my heart today, and I go about my day. And the next day, I may be going through something. You know what happens? All of a sudden, God will take that same scripture I read yesterday, and he'll pull it back and say, this is what I was talking about, Gene. This is exactly what you need to do, and this is what the Word of God says about this. And he directs me, and he brings things to my mind. He says, the Holy Spirit will be your teacher and will bring to your mind. How does he bring it to your mind? When you put it in your heart. when you read it in your mind and you put the Word of God there, then the Holy Spirit will take those things and bring it to your mind. The Holy Spirit will be your teacher. He will reveal things to you you don't understand. That's okay. We may not understand everything 100% yet, but the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. We see through Scripture where he says he is the counselor. He is the teacher. He is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. He is speaking to us. As we put the Word of God in, the Holy Spirit then reveals it to us. How many times have you been in a situation where you needed God's Word? I mean, you're going along somewhere, all of a sudden you find yourself in a great temptation. Do you have time to go, what was that scripture again? Hang on just a second. Let me go back and get my Bible. Boy, there's no Bible in this car. What am I going to do? Hey, there's a Christian bookstore. I'm going to pull over. All right, can we go to the You know, by that time, it's too late. But when I've taken time to put the Word of God in my heart, I don't go searching for the Word of God and look up a verse. It's alive in me, and the Holy Spirit will bring that out, what I have read. And he says, this is what you need. This is the weapon you need. This is the wisdom you need to handle this situation. This is what you need to do in this next step. This is where you need to go. All right, you read the scripture, and I've been talking to you. Now, this is the next step. Boom. The Holy Spirit is directing my path. Your boss comes to you and says, what do you want to do about this, this, and that? And you're like, you know what? I think I'll do this. And God is already directing you. He's already preparing you. He's speaking to you. You're fighting temptation. What's that verse? To fight the devil on this. I can't remember it. And listen, if I wait to go look it up, it's long gone by then. Most of the time I've already failed that temptation. But when I go back and say, God, your word says this because you have brought it to my memory and you brought it out of me and you spoke it to my mind. The Holy Spirit speaks to me. God is speaking through his Holy Spirit to us. It's a wow factor. He brings it to our mind. I mean, there's got to be something there to bring out. That's why we need this book. That's why we need the Bible to be alive in our life so that the Holy Spirit can bring it to our mind at the right time. God is speaking to us. Are you listening? Are you listening? He's speaking. We got to learn to filter it out. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about more of this, about how we balance out what's the Holy Spirit speaking and what's Satan speaking to us. What's a godly friend speaking and this is ungodly friend speaking. How do I filter that out? How do I use good judgment and knowing what advice to take and what to reject? How do we do that? That's a very important question to ask. Those are very good questions. We need to learn to do that. We're going to talk about that the next few weeks and talk about how do we use God's filter to know what's God's voice. Job 33 says this, God speaks again in dreams and visions of the night. As they lie on their beds, he opens their ears in times like they gives them wisdom and instruction, causing them to change their minds, keeping them from pride and from falling into some trap. He was saying that God speaks to us. So Job said, God speaks to us at night when we're laying down through dreams, through visions. He reveals things to you. I don't know how many times that I went to bed and I said, God, I need direction tomorrow on what to say, on what to do, next move. Did I get the answer when I went to bed? No, but it seemed like the next morning I woke up, I had clear direction on where I needed to go. I had clear purpose on what I need to do today. I had clear direction on the things I'm going to face at work or things I'm going to face in counseling or things I'm going to face on direction of the church and things we're going through. See, when I ask of God and I lay down, many times he just speaks through my spirit at night. Now, I'm not telling you every dream you have is from God because our minds are complex. We study about dreams and we see about the way our mind works at night. And many times what is a dream is just our mind filing away things. You watch some movie, had some memory from childhood, and all of a sudden they both get mixed together, and you think, oh, God, are you calling me to jump off a building and test you here? You know, no, that wasn't God. It's just your memory filing things and getting things into order and doing all those things while you sleep. But sometimes God does speak to us through dreams and through visions. His Holy Spirit speaks ideas to us. He said, you young men, they're going to see dreams and visions. Your old man, they're going to have them, man. They're going to see them. They're going to talk to you. They're going to prophesy. Things are going to happen. They're going to see these things. Why? Because he speaks through dreams. He speaks through visions. As many times I see God speak through visions. Number five, God speaks through pain. Ow. Turn your name and say, ow. This is not the most pleasant way for God to speak to us. This is not the most pleasant way for God to speak to us, but he does speak to us through our pain. You say, wow, why does God have to speak through my pain? I'm not saying that pain is the only way that God speaks and that you're going through pain only so God can speak to you. But many times God will use our pain to get our attention. God will use our pain to get our circumstances, to get us back to speaking to us, to listen to him. Because many times we find ourselves too busy, we find ourselves too prideful, and it takes us going through something we don't like and say, all right, God, ugh. I mean, all of us here have gone through things in our life that was painful, and we turn to God and say, God, I cannot do this by myself. This is too painful, God. I can't carry it by myself. I can't go through it by myself. And our pain, our maybe it's our finances, maybe it's our health, maybe it's our marriage, maybe it's our children, maybe it's our job, things we go through, things we're going through in our personal life. It's like, God, I cannot do, I've got to turn to you for answers. And we find ourselves drawing close to us, God's Holy Spirit, because we are drawing close to him through our pain. It pushes us to him. What's the first place my children run when they get hurt? They want their mom or they want their dad. They want their parent to come, and they want them to hold them. They want them to kiss that sore and to comfort them. When I have pain, spiritual pain, the thing I'm going through, I go, God, I need you to tell me it's going to be okay. God, I need you to speak to me. And God, I go to him, and God uses our pain many times to speak to us. God speaks through pain. I'll be listening when we're going through something. You know what I learned a long time ago? If I'm going through a pain and God's wanting to get my attention, I say, all right, God, teach me what you want me to learn right now, because I don't want to learn this lesson again. God, I don't want to have to go through this pain again. So obviously you're wanting to teach me something. So God, what is it? And I ask God, God, you're wanting to get my attention here. I need to be a better steward here. I need to do a better job of communicating here. What is it I'm doing, God, that's causing this pain in my life? What is it I'm doing that's helped to this pain being in my life, this mistakes I'm making? And God speaks to me, and I say, God, lead me. And many times I will draw close to him through that pain. But I also learned that I want to learn, because I don't want to have to suffer that same pain over the same thing. That's stupidity right there. That's ignorance. That's pride. So when we go through pain many times, that God speak to me, and God speaks many times through our circumstances. He gets us to slow down and speaks. Proverbs 20:30 says this. It's a painful verse. It says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Sometimes. It doesn't say all the time. It says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Wow. Man, many times it takes pain for us to change. Sometimes, you know, I can talk to my kids to their blue in the face. I can talk to them and reason with them, but it's not until they're having a painful experience they understand the lesson of right and wrong. Sometimes I got to do something they don't like, and it causes them pain, or it causes them a point where they discomfort, where they do not like to do what I'm doing to them. The punishment they have to receive, they don't like it. They'd rather be doing something else. They don't want to sit in the room. They don't want to have to sit in the corner. They don't want any of these things that causes pain in their life. But it's necessary for me to teach them a lesson. Same thing with us. Many times we don't like the pain that we're going through, but it's necessary for God to get our attention, for God to teach us what he wants us to learn. Psalms 119 says this, the suffering you sent was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your principles. Wow. What a way to look at pain. God, the suffering you sent me was good. It was good for me because it taught me to pay attention to your principles. And the last thing today as we close, God speaks through silence. God speaks through silence. Many times God's speaking through silence and we don't realize that's God speaking. Sometimes God says nothing at all. That's a hard thing. God, what do you want me to do? God, do this. And God doesn't say anything. And God's speaking through saying nothing at all. Wow. Sometimes we want God to write an email and send it to us. Wouldn't that be great? If God could just write us an email tomorrow morning and tell us, God, what's the plan for our life today? Send me that email. We want God to write it on the wall or write it in the sky. But why should God write it in an email? Why should God write it in the sky when he's already wrote it right here? It's called the Bible. He spoke to men and said, write these things down. He spent so much time speaking the word of God, having it translated for us to speak to us for today. And many times we want God to speak audibly, or we want God to speak this or that. He's already spoken it, but many times besides the word of God that he spoke and what he speaks to our heart, we feel nothing. He speaks through silence. Sometimes he doesn't speak at all. Well, Pastor, how do I hear God through that? What are you saying? How do we hear God when God is silent? What I'm saying is this, that you are learning to trust the Lord. That you're learning to trust the Lord when he's silent and you still go on. You're saying, God, all right, you haven't showed me the answer to this problem yet. God, you haven't showed me the direction exactly yet. But you know what? I know that you're in control. God, I know that you're directing my path. God, I know that I'm your kid and you're taking care of me. So I'm going to trust in you even when I don't hear your voice. Even when I don't hear clear direction, I am trusting in you. And many times God is testing our faith. God is developing us. He's teaching us to, you know what, to live by faith and to trust him through hard times. And he's growing you up. How many times do you have children who get to that age when you know they need to grow up and make some mistakes on their own and learn to trust and learn to? Sometimes you have to just keep your mouth shut as a parent. Sometimes you don't always have the answer for them right away. You let them go through some things first, and then you come back and say, all right, let me help you out. Let me tell you. So many times God speaks to us, and sometimes he's silent and says, all right, you're going to trust me now. Are you going to trust me even when you don't hear me clearly? Are you going to trust me even when I'm not speaking the answer to you right away? Where's your trust? Where's your faith? And God matures us through that. This is such a great story. I want to end it with it. Something we need to learn from. 1 Samuel 26. Look at what it says about Saul. Saul prayed to God, but God didn't answer. Neither by dream, nor by sign, nor by prophet. So here's Saul, the king of Israel, and he says, God, I've got to have this answer. Tell me the answer. And God doesn't give him a dream like he has in the past. He doesn't speak through a prophet like he had in the past. He didn't speak his heart. He didn't do anything to give Saul a sign of, all right, this is what you do. So Saul grows impatient, and Saul says this. He says, go out, get me spiritual advisors. Give me the witches. Give me the psychic readers. Give me these card readers. Get this and that. Those are in my palm and future. Get all these people. Bring them to me. Somebody's going to tell me some answers. Because he was so impatient. What did Paul do? He opened himself up to a realm spiritually that he had no business doing. Was that a big deal, Pastor? Well, here's Paul, anointed of God to lead Israel. He stops saying, all right, God, I'm going to trust you and your voice. I'm going to go over here and listen to demonic influence because they'll tell me what I need to hear. He opens up his life, and from that moment on, Paul never recovers. He opens stuff up, and the Word of God talks about it. You can see a pattern in his life. Demonically, the Spirit overcame his life, and Paul was going insane. He was going crazy. He was losing it. And he fell out of the anointing of being led by God's voice. And God's voice never spoke to him, never led him as king again. And see, there's danger when you don't wait upon the Word of God. Listen, you don't have to look to the stars and the sun to get your direction. You look to the one who created the stars and the sun. You don't have to call a hotline to get direction. Don't flirt with those things. Don't go around and think, all right, I got to read my horoscope for the day and see what my sign is and line this up with that. Listen, don't play around with those things, okay? We wait and say, God, you are what I need. You are the source. I don't even entertain evil thoughts. I don't entertain anything except for what God is directing me. I don't entertain any of those things. I don't open myself up to any of those things. I stay in tune with the Spirit of God. He is directing me. I'm not getting my mind over to anything else other than the Spirit of God. God speaks to you. Are we listening to him? I'm learning to trust him. What we do when God's silent, remember God is this. God is in control. Job 34 says, God is silent. What does that mean? Since he turns his face away from you, what can you do about it? But whether silent or hidden, he is ruling there. We know that God is in control. Number two, we realize that God is trusting him. We're just trusting him by faith. Psalms 50 says, I want to trust me in your time of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. God wants us to trust him when he's silent. God wants to hear his voice. Even when he's silent, he wants us to hear that, you know what? He is still in control. He is still working on your behalf. He is still working on our behalf. We've got to realize that God is speaking. God is still speaking to his people. But are we listening? I'm going to ask today, as you just bow your heads, today, as we continue this series, we know that God is speaking to us. And we got to learn to listen to what he says. There's things that we go through in our life where we know that God is speaking. God is speaking. I'm learning to trust him. I'm learning to identify how he speaks to me. How do you know if it's God? Well, we look in the scripture and we see he left us a blueprint of how he speaks to his people. There's a lot more ways that God can speak. These are some of the most common ways that God speaks that we see in our life through scripture and through everyday living, that we see God speaks to us through different means. And sometimes he just doesn't say anything at all. And he's testing us to see if we're going to be faithful during those times. He's testing us to see if we're going to stay hold to what we know is true. Or we're going to turn our back and run to something else. He's maturing us. My prayer this morning for Destiny Church is that we would learn to identify God's voice. We would learn to open up our hearts to God's word. Let's say, God, you are speaking. I put your word in my heart, things you have spoken, so that you can bring it out and reveal it to me throughout the week. Throughout the day, God, you make that word come alive in my heart through your Holy Spirit. You're leading me. You're directing me. I'm hearing the word of God through my pastors and through my teachers. I'm hearing the word of God through friends who are confirming what your word's already spoken to me. I'm getting godly counsel. I'm getting godly wisdom from godly friends and family members who are speaking to me. Help me not to reject your voice, God. This morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you hear, say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about hearing the voice of God, but man, I've got to get right with Jesus. I don't even know him as Lord and Savior of my life. I've never asked Jesus to be Lord of my life. I've never asked him to come into my life, forgive me my sins. Today, I want to accept Jesus Christ into my heart, ask him to be Lord of my life. Maybe you want to be like the six people in the last 2 weeks who've raised their hand and said, I wanted to do that. I've never done that before. And today, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Nobody's looking up at me, but can you raise your hands and say, Pastor Gene, that's me today. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Can you raise it high where I can see? Anybody here today? That's you. Second question I have for you today is, Pastor Gene, as you're speaking, at least one of these areas in my life, I've not been listening to God in this area of my life. Either I haven't been reading my Bible the way I should. I may have allowed pride to come in. I haven't trusted a pastor to speak to me. I haven't trusted friends to speak to me. Or I haven't been patient when God's been silent. I've gotten frustrated. I've questioned God a lot. And today I just want to admit to God that I haven't been doing that. And I want to learn to hear God's voice through every circumstance of my life. If that's you, can you just raise your hand through confirmation? That's me, Pastor. Thank you. Yeah. Several hands. Yeah. Let's stand today. I'm going to close out in prayer. Father, we love you. Come on, let's just lift our hands. If you're comfortable, let's lift our hands. Lord, today we thank you, God. Lord, we thank you today, God. You are an awesome God. Lord, today we lift our hands and worship, our voices and praise. And Father, we thank you that you're a God who's not a statue, but you're a God who's alive. And Father, you have spoken your word to us. You've left your voice and instruction for us through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible. But God, more than that, you speak to us every day if we will listen. So God, help us to tune in our ears, Lord, to be spiritually sensitive, to hear your voice. It starts with my heart. It starts with me right now. So we raise our hands today, God, and say, God, speak to us, God, on our job, in the car, in the shower, at night, in the morning, in the evening. God, speak to us. Let us be people who hear the voice of God directing us, our thoughts, our direction. May your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we're going to say yes, Lord, to your voice. We say yes, Lord, to your voice. We will be obedient to listen and quick to hear. In the name of Jesus, people of God said, amen and amen. God bless you today. Shake a hand, hug a neck on your way out. Say God bless you. You guys have a great week.